Tonight I'm going to talk about give and take. Okay? You know, sometimes we have to give to get. And, like, in other words, we have to work so we can get paid. We have to take care of our bodies and sleep to be healthy. These are all things we need to give to get something in return. But what I'm going to be talking about tonight is what do you want to give? Or what are you willing to give? And what do you want to get out of it? Let's look at what Jesus taught us in Acts 20:35. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we should give more than what we expect to get back, right? And he wants us to be blessed. But he's telling us that we first need to give. You know, sometimes it doesn't even cost us money. Sometimes it just costs us our time. So it's not how much money you have, but you still can be generous with the time you have, with the money you have, and with the things you have. You know, we need to be generous. If you know someone who is in need of something that you have, especially if you don't even use it, why do we keep it? Why don't we just give it to them and let them have it? Because you know what? We're not here for that long. We're just on this borrowed time. And if we can bless somebody, why not? Especially if we're not going to use it. I mean, it's, you know, lately God's been dealing with me about this. Because it's just stuff. Okay? Let's go to... Okay, it says that in some sort of way, that's being greedy, right? If you have it, someone needs it, and you're not using it, give it. Let's go to Luke 12:15. Because he says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Jesus is warning us against being greedy, saying that life is not about a lot of possessions or things we have. It's funny how life is. When I got married, you know, when you get married, you hardly have anything. So you want more because you want to be like everybody else. Then you get to a point in your life where you realize you've got so much stuff that you're like, what's the purpose? You know, what is really important? But you realize how unimportant these things are. Not that I'm not thankful for what God has given me, because God has given me a lot. But those are just things. Now I want less. Less to clean, less to think about, less to deal with. I just want less. Okay? You know, you get to a point where you just want less. Well, when my mom and my uncle passed away, they each had a house full of stuff. So you got these houses full of stuff, and as my mom died, I would say, take what y'all want. Just take what y'all want and just get it out of here. I just want the house. Just take everything else out of it. Well, needless to say, oh, I think I'll take just this. And I'm like, no, y'all take, you know. So you get to a point where you realize, see, like my uncle, okay, he dies. I say, okay, come, take what y'all want, get it out of the house. We have antique pieces in there that belong to my grandparents. Beautiful pieces. I don't have room for it because I'm stuck with my mama's stuff. And my stuff, okay? I've got house, and now we're going to the next house. It's like, My children didn't want it. Nobody wants it. And then you start thinking, when I pass away, what are they going to do with my stuff? They think it's goofy anyway. They probably say, that's just junk. Because that's what we did when we went through my mama's stuff and we went through my uncle's stuff. This is just junk, okay? You think it's junk because you don't need it because God has already supplied you. So what did we do with it? We donated it. Some people were blessed. But it was nothing off of us because it was an overabundance that God had given us. So you just bless other people with it. That's the way we want to be, and that's what God wants us to be. We need to quit hanging on to stuff that we don't need and don't use, and we need to let it go. You know, Hebrews 13:55 says, contentment is a way to avoid loving money. So if we're content, we shouldn't love it because we already have, you know, when you have it, it's like, okay. So we need to be content with what we have and at the same time be generous to what we can give. Okay, what about giving in lending? Let's look at Luke 35 through 36. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is King to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So, we need to lend to our enemies. Did I see that right? You mean I have to give to my enemies? Wow. Now, I knew I had to lend, and I knew I had to expect nothing in return, but to my enemies? Wow. You know, if you expect something back, if you're lending, if it's not returned to you, whose fault is it? Because we should expect nothing in return. Because we'll only hurt ourselves by thinking that we get. You know, I've had people come up to me and say, here, I borrowed this 20 years ago. And I'm like, huh? I had forgotten about it because I didn't even think twice about it. Because when we expect something in return, we're always going to be disappointed. Always. I give, okay? I very rarely lend, very rarely, because if I really want the item, I'm not lending it to anybody, because if it's like my daughter or my son, you know, you got to kind of give to them, and then I'll tell them, you better give it back to me, but even if they wouldn't, it probably wouldn't be a big deal, because I wouldn't let them have it if I really, really wanted it, but I've heard numerous people say, oh, I drove that person to church for 2 years, and then I asked them to bring me to just the store because I had surgery on my little toe, and they told me they were too busy. Or I've heard people say stuff like, I gave that person a real nice gift, and you know what they gave me? A smile. What did you expect? What do you expect when you give? I've given gifts and they've never said thank you, never even looked twice, never even smiled at me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Why doesn't it matter? Because what you're expecting back from someone in return, if you are expecting it, don't do it. Okay? Because you will be disappointed. Do you know, the payback is not from man. The payback is from God. So we have to keep our perspective of what we're really doing. Are we doing this to just get this? Or are we doing it to glorify God and let Him look like He is awesome? That's what we need to do. So we have to lend and give to our enemies who are unthankful and evil. That's what the scripture says. Because he's the king of the unfaithful and evil. And he is. But that's what we have to do. Because they're still God's children. And he still loves them. And God says, be merciful, for he's merciful to us. God even says, in 2 Corinthians 9, he says, he loves a cheerful giver. Okay, wait a minute. Now you're telling me I have to give to my enemies and I have to be happy about it. I got to be cheerful about it. Okay, doesn't that just grab you in a funny way? I have to be happy. And I believe he's asking us to give like what you would give to your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, or are your friends. That's what he's asking for. He's asking us to be just generous, give it to them, because what does it do? It draws people to God. You see, the only way we can catch our enemies off guard is with honey. Be sweet to them. Be sweet to those people who mistreat you. God has told us to do this. It blows your mind sometimes. By doing good to them, you'll blow their mind. Because they can be ugly, ugly, ugly to you. And then you go up to them and you bless them with something. They just look at you like, what are you doing? See, they don't even understand it. I think it's funny. I kind of like to do it. You know, because it blows their mind. It really does. I've brought flowers to them. Somebody was the ugliest thing to me. The next day I brought them flowers. And I said, look, God bless you. And I walked away. Because someone is always watching you on how you treat people. I've been in places where I wanted to be not nice. And I wanted to explode. Because, you know, sometimes your anger is kind of, you know, I used to have a friend that would say, they squeeze in my fruit. And that's kind of how you feel sometimes, like they just squeeze in that. And you go, oh, oh, oh. You know, I know y'all don't know that, but I guess I'm the only one. But if you find out that there's someone who knows you, and you really don't know them, and they come up to you and say, aren't you? Yeah, I know who you are. And they name you, and you've just made a clown out of yourself. And you go, oh. You know, you don't want to be associated for people to say, huh, you know what she did? She acted crazy because she went to the DMV and they get on my nerves. And she really got upset, you know, and people talk. And you don't want to be known for that. So you have to kind of restrain yourself sometimes. Then I say, you know, God, I didn't say anything, and I think I did. I'm so thankful I did. But we need to watch what we say, because how can we draw people to God if we're acting like an idiot? Think about it. They're going to say, well, I sure don't want to be like her. Look what she did or how she acts. That's very important. You just don't even realize how important that is. Who wants to follow somebody who's acting crazy? Okay, but aside all of that, who else do you think is watching? God is watching. And I'm not talking about having fun. You know, a lot of people, we have fun, you know, then that's okay. But I'm talking about being ugly, being angry and reacting in a wrong way. You know? Okay, let's go to Luke, 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. You know, I illustrate this in church all the time. I mean, children's church, all the time. What I do is I give one child a little baby spoon, and then I give the other child a big old scoop. And I have a thing of M&Ms, a big old bowl of M&Ms, and I give them each a little cup. And I'll say, okay, you got 30 seconds to fill up whatever you can put by using your, whatever I gave you, to try to get the M&Ms into your cup. Well, naturally, the poor little kid who has the baby spoon only gets 8 or 9, maybe, M&Ms, because it's hard. You can only get one at a time. Okay, and then if you spill them, you... Anyway, I let them pick it up, though, whatever. Because it's only a few anyway. But the scoop, man, nail it gone. Oh, this is great, you know? Because they're getting all these, I mean, they get a big old thing of M&Ms. They have to share it with the other kids, but or they can take it home. But anyway, my point is that I'll say, okay, which one is better? Well, naturally, the one with the big scoop is better, okay? Of course. Then I'll ask them, okay, if it's the large scoop, how much do you give? Do you use a little baby spoon or do you use the big scoop? Because, you know, a lot of people say, well, I can't afford that. I don't have that kind of money. Just like God's not going to ask me for $1 million because I don't have $1 million to give him. Okay? He's not going to ask you what you don't have. But if you use a little baby spoon, you're going to get a baby spoon return. You use that big scoop, and I'm talking about, okay, this is my money in a big bubble, whatever. And you take that big scoop and that's what you should be given. Now, if you don't have but $3 or $4 and you use a big scoop, it doesn't matter because there's not much there anyway. You see? But that's my point. You should always use the big scoop because you want that return. If anybody knows what that means. Okay, so now I'm saying that you should give, and then I do warn you. You know, some people have a lot to give, and they might give $1. Which, if God told them to give $1, that's what you give. It doesn't matter what you have. But if God is telling you, give $100, and you say, oh, but I need a new pair of shoes. I'm going to take that $100 and go and buy me a new pair of shoes. That's not what God said. And they say, well, if I give the $100, I won't have the money to buy my shoes. Well, no, but God's going to give it back to you. He's going to give you not only that $100, but more. You'll have some left over. You just have to be obedient to what he's telling you to do. You know? You don't realize that everything that you possess is not even yours anyway. It belongs to God. So you have to watch that. You know, when my husband was sick, we were on a pretty fixed income because we were living off of my income, which I was only part-time at the time. Because when my husband was working, I was part-time. I didn't have a full-time job. Well, as he got sick, I went into full-time, but it still wasn't enough. His insurance and his medicine was over $2,000 a month. More like $2,400. And though back in that day, it was a bit. Okay? So I didn't have much. But it was what I had. And we always tithed. We always trust God for what he had and what he was going to give us. But I went to Walmart. I had $10 on me. That was all we had left, was $10. And some change in my wallet. And I sat in my car and I said, Lord, I need toothpaste, toilet paper, soap, and laundry detergent. And all I got is $10. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but these are all things I need, and you said you'd supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I know that you're going to make a way where there's no way. I don't know how you're going to do it. And I was crying out to him because I was frustrated because I had, when you try so hard, and I mean, we were tithing. You know, people would show up at our door and bring in us stuff when we needed, when they didn't even know that we needed it. I mean, I guess they did because they brought it, but you know, we hadn't told them we needed it. They just knew. That's how God works, and you know it's God. But anyway, so I get down at Walmart, and I get my basket, and I say, Lord, you just have to help me with this because I don't know what I'm going to do. So I'm going, and every item on the list was on sale, and there was only one left. And except the toothpaste and the laundry detergent. So I got to the toothpaste and I looked and I said, big old blank hole. I said, well, I guess maybe we'll use baking soda to clean our teeth. I don't know what we're going to do. You know, you just got to do what you got to do. So then I went to the laundry detergent and I looked and the type we used, and that's really why I had gone over there because I knew it was on sale and I was so excited because I knew we could afford it. I get there, a blank hole. And I said, Lord, the other ones were like, you know, they're like, anyway, they're like $4 or $5, you know, for a little bottle of nothing detergent. And I thought, okay, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I glance this way and I see this cart and it's pushed like in the corner, like away like for like the workers to work on. I looked at it, and they had a whole bunch of stuff on it. I look, and I recognize the detergent because that's what I use. I said, wait, they got one in there. I grabbed it, and I was like, yes, they got one. So I put that in my cart, and I went back. I said, okay, the toothpaste is the only thing I have left. Let me figure it out. So I go back, and I'm looking at the price, and I'm going, there's no way this $10 is going to... Already, we might have trouble with this $10 even paying for this. So I said... And all of a sudden, way in the back, I see, it's like, you know how everything is in line like this? I see this little point sticking out. Reached in the back, I pulled it out, it was the one on sale. I said, glory to God, I'm getting out of here. I got everything I need. Now, is the $10 in the chain gonna make it? So I'm sitting there calculating, and some of them are like $1.29, and you know, nothing was even for me, my brain, to do it like this. So I'm like, okay, this is the deal. I'll get up there and whatever I can't afford, I'm just going to get rid of the item in that price range. And that's what I'll have to do. So I had the $10 out and I had put everything on the conveyor belt and stuff. So I get up to the register and the lady's in front of me and all of a sudden she just grabs the $10 out of my hand and I go, what is she doing? And then I'm like, oh, and then she keeps doing this. And I said, I had no idea what she was doing. I said, what is she doing? And she said, well, she turns around, she hands me a dollar. And I'm like, look, and I know it's like $10 and something, but I didn't know if I had enough change to make it. And I'm looking at her like, what are you doing? She says, well, I keep ringing up this detergent, and she said it keeps coming up only $2, and she said, I know it's like it was like almost $4 for a little bitty thing. And she said, I know it's, she said, it's ringing up like that, I have to give it to you like that. And I said, really? Okay. And I just did. It blew my mind, because all these things, God just set it up. It was just weird. So, at that point, I started crying because I knew that it was God. And I knew that he was giving me this, and it was just so heartfelt for me, just so heartfelt. And when I cried all the way home, and then when I got home and told my husband, he started crying, and he never was a crier. I saw him maybe 5 times in my life that he cried. But it was so heartfelt because he knew that God had touched us, you know, in a way that I can't even explain. But that's how God is, and he's good, and he does it in a way where you don't, you know that it's God. You know, you just, yes. because he is good. Whew. So the more we give, the more we learn to trust God. And the more we give, the more we'll have left over for our own needs. Now, you know what I did with that dollar? I went to church the next day and I gave it to the Lord and I said, Lord, this is my last dollar. So you see, I've been in those situations where I had my last dollar. And I gave it to the Lord because I knew that he was going to bless me for it. It was his anyway. He had given it back to me. I was in shock that I was like, I didn't even want anything back. I was like, I'm just glad it's all paid for. But God is more than enough God. You know? And it doesn't make sense to our minds. If we give it to God, he'll turn those situations around. He'll bless us for being obedient. So if you're doing God's will by giving, when he tells you to give, you'll receive something in return. Let's go to Psalms 34, 9 through 10. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen. Glory. So he's speaking to the saints, right? And who are the saints? In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says that all believers are saints. God said that we are called to be saints. And he will not want. That's funny. Because if we fear God, we will never want. We'll never lack. In other words, all those things that we need will be taken care of. So we'll not want anything. If there's things that we don't have but we desire, we have to trust God to bring those things to us. Because he says he gives us the desires of our heart if we delight ourselves in him. You see, like desires having a new home, a new car, desires of having new clothes or new shoes, whatever your need is, and your desire, and I'm not talking about a need like what I needed, because that you basically have to have. I'm talking about things that you just want. Those are our desires. And the desires for things in life to change, even. Those are the desires that God will fill. Just know that God is working on your situation, whatever your situation is. And the young in the Lord may lack and want, but they will learn if they just seek after the Lord, and they will not lack any good thing. I just love it. You see, we have to give time to receive that good thing that God has for us. We have to give him our time. You may say, well, I've given him my time, and all I've gotten was things that were stolen from me. Let's go to Proverbs 6:31 in the NIV. Yet if he's caught, he must pay back sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house. So first, who's the thief? The enemy. And remember, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God came so that we would have life and that we would have it more abundantly. Amen. You know, you may think it's a person who stole from you, but remember, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers in darkness of this age. So when the devil was caught stealing your blessing, tell him he can't keep it, that it belongs to you. And if he does steal it, he's got to pay back seven times. I love it. I always say when someone steals from me, I guess I'll get it just multiplied then. Because he stole this, but I'm going to get seven times that. So I'm not worried about it. I just let go and I let God work with his promises. I stay less stressed about all these situations and get blessings coming my way. Sounds good to me. So let the enemy think he's stealing from you and stealing your finances or stealing your health or stealing something from you, or it could be a family member that he thinks he's got. He thinks. But I'm telling you, give your time and your faith and take back what the enemy has stolen from you. Glory to God.